Welcome to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles of all ages. Singled Out is brought to you by the Fundamental Baptist Singles Fellowship. You can find us on the web at fbsingles.wordpress.com, or you can email us directly with any of your questions and comments at fbsingles@aim.com. And now, here's today's program. Hello, we're here in the world-famous Delve Into the Depths Studios, otherwise known as the Assistant Pastor's Office here at North Baptist Church. And we're pleased to have with us today, in studio, Pastor Brad Wilkinson. Brother Wilkinson, welcome to our program.
Good to be here.
Pastor Wilkinson is the singles pastor at the Bethel Baptist Church in Schaumburg, Illinois. Tell us about the ministry there. As a singles pastor, what are your responsibilities?
Well, my responsibilities obviously are ages 18 and above from the most recent high school grad, but underneath my umbrella obviously would be college students, and there we have probably 50 to 60 college students. And then of course the classic sense of the word singles, which would be the 20s and 30s primarily, probably have 50 plus of those, and they would be in that. Single moms, widows, and that's pretty much the realm.
Okay. Now, what is the justification for singles ministry? Because some are thinking, singles ministry, why bother? I mean, why are you continually dividing the body of Christ, segmenting the church?
Well, first of all, I think we do have a problem doing that. But at the same thing, you have to have specialized needs being met. And sometimes when you just have a big old group, people are not being met specifically.
Right.
Why would you have a youth group? Because youth have specific needs that need to be addressed because they're at a certain stage in their development, and so we try to hit them where they're at. Singles need that as much as everybody. And the big problem in the church is we're trying to build churches on the teens. We're trying to build churches on young people and young marrieds. And we're forgetting the singles. They're the forgotten group. They're the outcasts. They're the extras. They're the fringe. And
why is that? Why are they the outcast?
Well, sometimes I think it's our worldly mentality because we want the norm. We're kind of our business in our mentality. We want what's best for us to make our church big, and we're not meeting the individual needs. And so I would say because they're not, quote unquote, the norm, and I'm speaking in a worldly sense because they're, so to speak, weird. They're not married. They're not normal. Which they are. They are, but it's just an issue of people need to meet those needs.
Now, much has been made recently. You have Al Mohler down over at Josh Harris's big New Attitude Conference preaching on the sin of singleness. Prolonged adolescence is what he's preaching against. This idea that you're not married simply because you're not willing to grow up. In other words, it is God's will for people to be married. That's the objective, that's the goal of your early life. So singleness then is contrary to God's stated goal. What are your thoughts on that?
I dare say it's like anything else. I think Al Mohler's probably going to an extreme to make a point. I think if he was in the studio right now and we were talking to him, do you think singleness is a sin? He would say, and he would make all the necessary exceptions. He would make all the necessary clarifiers. But the problem is...
And we're not trying to set you against it.
No, I'm just saying he's not here to defend himself.
Right.
But the way it comes across is...
But that mentality...
That mentality is wrong. Because we know it's not. And of course, what do you do with 1 Corinthians 7? It's very clear that Paul says, actually, it's better if you're able to abide as I am. However, also there's another better in that chapter. It's better to marry than to burn. So marriage is great, and singleness is great. And I think actually that's what he's teaching in 1 Corinthians 7:1, that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I don't think touch there is just a literal, I touched a woman. It's the idea of sexual conduct.
Right, it's not a six-inch rule.
It's not a six-inch rule. And so he's simply saying this, it's all right to be single. However, verse 2, he says, you probably ought to get married to avoid fornication. But if you can, do what I do. I'm single. Right. And in fact, I suggest it because you can serve the Lord without distraction. I'm not trying to put a snare on you, but it's really going to help you in your service.
You almost get the idea. Now, obviously, we do have the entire canon of Scripture, but if you were to take just that portion, just chapter 1 Corinthians 7, you almost get the idea that marriage is only for people who can't control themselves.
Right.
But obviously, we do balance that with the rest of Scripture. Obviously, the marriage bed is honorable, and Paul... uplifts the sanctity of marriage by even comparing it to your relationship with Christ.
Exactly.
But obviously, I think he would say there that there is a validity to singleness.
Mm-hmm. And he encourages it.
Right.
Strongly.
So as a Christian single going to the singles group there at Bethel, or really any church, what is the purpose of a singles group? What is the thrust?
Number one is basically just to see people saved. You want people who are saved. Majority of them are born again, so of course it's just no different. And here you bring in the unity aspect again. It's the same as the rest of the body of Christ, to bring them to maturity in their walk of faith, to take them to the next level. If they come in having limited Bible knowledge, you want to give them knowledge. If they come in and they don't know what it is to exercise faith and to step out by faith, you need to teach them that, to serve other people. And you want to see that. And that's the exciting thing I've seen at Bethel, is the growth in our singles. They're now on the bus ministry. They're serving and seeing the growth individually. They have their own Bible study. They go 4 times a month. They go down to the Pacific Garden Mission women's side, which is called the Women's Gospel League home. They do that 4 times a month, and it's neat to see them grow. They've assumed that responsibility. That's what it's all about.
But a singles ministry, if you believe the comments of some, it's an overgrown youth group.
And I had to learn that. And one of the very first things I learned as a singles pastor is I am not an activities director, because that's exactly what I was doing. I was trying to get all of these scheduled events. And guess what? I want to say this too, is Kevin, those events are important. I used to think, well, they're not that important. I just need to be a pastor and help them spiritually. But actually, you need to give them good alternatives to the world. And I'm dealing with singles, and a lot of them used to go clubbing. Yeah. And a lot of them still are tempted to go clubbing. And so you've got to give them a better alternative and some healthy fellowship. And so that's why it is necessary for good singles to fellowship one with another and talk about godly things and have godly behavior instead of the opposite.
On the ministerial side of that, what are the struggles? What are the temptations? What are the problems that you as a singles pastor are dealing with in your group? Or in singles in general? Why the need for that ministry to these people?
I was single until I was 30. And so, for instance, I'll just be pretty frank when I say this. The first area is just the sexual purity. What do you do when you do have physical desires? The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. That's a real reality for somebody who's a single adult. And I would say that's one of the biggest issues, is we have singles in our group that have a real past. And they have been promiscuous in their past, and now they're being taught you need to be pure. Well, how do you control those desires that are natural and real? You need to address that.
Now, how do you... What do you say to the person who has been struggling with that? All right, now, obviously, I know I can't fulfill this outside of the bonds of marriage. What do you recommend? How do you deal with that temptation?
I would say there's two things. God gives two gifts for everybody. Every one of us has a gift of sexuality, and there are two gifts, one of two, that every person's going to get. The first gift is marriage, and I praise the Lord for that. That's the healthy, natural gift. And right. So now you can fulfill those sexual desires, and God says it's honorable, it's wonderful, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. But also, I think the other gift is what Paul talked about again in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, I'm going to give you power over your own will. That it's really not an issue. It's kind of like the concept of John Stott. I've heard this said about him, you know, the author. And that John Stott did not have romantic feelings for women. Now, to me, I don't understand that, because I do. And my wife, I have great romantic feelings for her, but that's fine. He doesn't. That's a gift from God, that he's able to do that. He's not weird. He's not alternative. He's not strange. It's a gift to free him up to serve, so he doesn't have that passion raging against him.
So what do you do with the person who has, I don't believe that God has called me to a life of singleness. In fact, we were talking, we had our singles conference today, and we were talking, the subject has come up many times. I want to be married. It's better to marry than to burn, but I'm burning. There's no one here. There's no one I'm finding. And I want, I have a strong desire, but at the same time, I do want to stay biblical. I want to be true to the Lord and faithful to His Word.
Well, I'd say when it comes to that is, first of all, I encourage them that desire is good. Mm-hmm. They are not sinful because, quote unquote, they're burning. Now, if they're feeding that lust, there's a problem.
Right.
But if they say, no, it's just a natural desire, I would encourage that individual, there's nothing wrong with you. That's a godly, healthy, biblical desire. And if it's that strong, you continually take that to God in prayer. Let Him know about that.
So it's not something I have to feel guilty about.
Absolutely not. Why should it? It's God-given.
Right.
God-given. But God does demand that they deny themselves and they keep themselves pure. The will of God is that they abstain from fornication till the time being. And if they can keep control of their sexuality now, before they get married, they're going to be a much better candidate to control their sexuality after they do get married.
Right. So they can be faithful to the one that they've...
Absolutely.
Now, another, I guess, objection of a singles ministry, well, you're just playing matchmaker. Do you play matchmaker?
I do, not greatly, because I think the more you drive and you push and you force, the more you just actually repulse the person. And you're driving them away from marriage when you're pushing them hard. Also, let them know that where they're at, that stage of the game, is fine. Absolutely fine. As we were talking actually earlier today, I agree with the concept, what better place to be a matchmaker?
Right.
Is in the local church where how can two walk together except they be agreed?
Yeah.
That people of like faith, like doctrine, you've got the accountability. And so it's not all that bad. Mm-hmm. And some people do need a little pushing, but it's got to be gentle.
Right.
And you can't drive them. You can only kind of put it out in front of them and lead them.
So in your group, or really, again, I say your group, but I'm talking singles in general. These are people who, for the most part, are looking to be married. What advice or what preparation do you think that someone of that in that situation should be taking?
I think they need to know what a good husband's all about, a good wife is all about. I think singles need to be taught all those things. You don't wait till you get married. I think you should take the physical intimacy aspect. I wouldn't suggest you study that until about a week before marriage. But as far as being a quality husband and a quality wife and a quality father, you need good preparation. I thank God I've got a phenomenal marriage. I give God all the glory for it. But my wife was so well taught as a single lady. I was so well taught as a single man. God is giving us the grace to apply what we learned already as singles. And now we're carrying it into the marriage relationship. They need to be prepared what a husband's responsibility is, what a wife's responsibility is, anticipation.
I don't think there's a pastor on earth who wouldn't relish the opportunity if a single person came up to them and said, could you teach me or show me what I could be doing to prepare myself as a husband or as a wife?
Right. Absolutely.
Now, another interesting conversation we kind of got into a little earlier. I am looking for my person, the person that I have felt as though, all right, I've got my checklist. This is what I think a good husband is or a good wife is. I've got my standards. I've got my convictions. Now I'm looking for someone who will meet these qualifications. Is there a danger in that train of thought?
It's healthy to find someone who's similar, can two walk together except they be agreed. But if you're looking for a perfect, absolutely cookie-cutter match, it doesn't happen. It's rare. You're going to have little nuances of differences on standards. For instance, let's say you start dating a girl. You may be more conservative on dress, but she's more conservative on music. What do you do when she's more conservative in some areas, and then actually on the flip side, you're more conservative in other areas? And so what you got to learn to do is give and take. There are some things maybe you won't compromise, but I think you have to give a little bit. And don't play one another's Holy Spirit or you're doomed for failure in your relationship.
Now that's applicable before marriage and after marriage.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
especially even after marriage.
Right. And if you're not in a loving relationship after marriage, or before marriage, if you're picking apart someone, I wouldn't assume that a wedding vow would change that mentality.
No, not at all.
But again, we're not talking about dating someone who's not saved. We're not talking about dating someone who is living a sinful life. In other words, not everything is up for grabs. There certainly are some core foundational issues that have to be there.
Sure.
But we're talking when it comes to standards and convictions, things that aren't necessarily scripturally drawn. I mean, they may be reasons from Scripture.
But they're not clear cut.
Right.
They're applications of Scripture, and sometimes hyper applications of Scripture.
We're not talking about a thou shalt not.
Right. Absolutely.
What are, for a single living here in this day and age, what do they need to be prepared for? What temptations are they going to? We talked about sexual temptations, and that's certainly what the world has to offer. But what other temptations or problematic areas should they be looking out for?
A major one is just really worldliness. Yeah. Now, we all battle that as children of God. It's a constant battle in America, the materialism. But there was a missionary from Africa, and she was a lady. Her and her husband came to our church. They had 10 children. And as they were going through their slide presentation, you saw pictures of them with chimpanzees or snakes or whatever. And when the lady gave her testimony in church, she said something very interesting. She says, when it comes down to it, the snakes and the diseases are not as dangerous to our children as the worldliness of America. Which is a very powerful thought. And one of the major reasons single adults are apathetic about God, apathetic about church, apathetic about doctrine, reading their Bibles, is they're so entrenched with, I've got my money, I can use it any way I want, I'm going to the amusement parks, I'm going to the mall, I'm going to invest this life on me. And I would say selfishness, worldliness, materialism, those are some of the major things that are going to bring singles down, and they'll never reach their potential for God until they get their eyes focused on God.
Would you say that's a particular, again, you said everyone struggles with worldliness, but for a single person living on their own, independent from their parents, from their family, you almost have a tendency to dwell upon self. Because you're watching out for yourself, you're taking care of yourself, and so you've got to be careful to let that mentality, not to let that mentality permeate your being.
Absolutely.
Now, what are your recommendations for someone? All right, I've been living on my own for a number of years now. You get into habits, you get into independence. Now you found somebody, you believe the Lord is leading you toward marriage. How does that translate into marriage? You have two independent people now merging into one. What are the dangers, and what can they do to make that transition smoothly?
Well, they need to become the right person now. You can't just say, oh, I'm getting married now, so now I'm going to turn the switch, and now I'm going to be selfless.
Right.
It's not going to happen. They need to learn to be selfless now. Are they tithing now? Are they giving to the local church now? Are they giving of their time now? In fact, I would even recommend they get a roommate now as a single.
Yeah.
Because when you live all by yourself, you can do whatever you want. If you want to leave the place in a heap, who cares?
Right.
But when you have someone else to be considerate of, that's great preparation for marriage.
Mm.
And so I would say learn to be a selfless, loving, giving individual now, and it's going to be an easier transition into marriage. Because again, you will not just turn a switch and suddenly you're the selfless person. It's not going to happen.
Up in August, you get a singles conference here at Bethel Baptist. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in August, the 11th and the 12th, that's a Friday and a Saturday combination. We've got a 2 days conference. We've got a handful of speakers. And the featured speaker is Dr. Robert Kendall and his wife, Rosalind. Dr. Kendall teaches down in Trinity in Jacksonville, Florida. Obviously, he's a Bible scholar. In fact, if you grab one of the new Strong's Concordances and you turn to the acknowledgments, you're going to find thank you to Robert P. Kendall. He's the one who expanded the definitions. Don't think this about him, that he's some kind of nerd or geek who can't speak at people's level just because he's a scholar. In fact, no, he has an unbelievable style to him. He has a way of communicating things at a very teachable level. His wife, I don't want to sound strange when I say this, is also just an amazing lady. She's written a book on motherhood. They understand the single life. He was 28. She was 30 when they got married. And they've had 7 children, and I will say this about the Kendalls. If you want to see what a model marriage is, if you want to see what a model family is, come hear them. I've been around them. I've seen the glow on the children's face. Their kids are going on for God. It's an amazing family. They're doing something right. Both of them also know suffering. She's a breast cancer survivor. He has had kidney transplants. He has chronic health problems. But they're just an amazing. To me, he's a modern-day David, a man after God's own heart. He seeks after the heart of God. He's just extraordinary. They are the featured speaker. We'll also have 4 other speakers beside them. But we'll have a couple of preaching sessions on a Friday night. We'll have what's called a Roman Warfare. The name of the conference is More Than Conquerors, which is really playing on the phrase from Romans chapter number 8 there at the end of the chapter. And the subtitle is Reflections from the Book of Romans. And so we have 5 general sessions. 4 of those general sessions are around Roman themes. Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 8 a couple of times. And then also we do have workshops. Workshops on financial freedom as a single, love, relationships, and marriage, how to conquer our obsession with self, and also decision making in the will of God. And then also we do have a special split session, which is totally men and then totally ladies, One of them's called Let's Talk Man to Man. The other is Let's Chat, using the lady term. Let's Chat Women to Women. But thrilled about the conference. Starts at 7 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, it's from 9:30 all the way to 3:30. And to me, it's a very specialized conference. We've had this is our third annual. It's a Midwest singles conference. We are praying for 300. We would love to have 300 single adults. And if there's anybody here listening, I would like to direct them to the website, www.BethelMinistries.org/singles. BethelMinistries.org/singles. That'll tell you the overview, the schedule, what others are saying about the conference, and you can register right there online. Yes, there is a secure connection, so you don't have to worry about that. But would love to have anybody listening to make the trip out to Chicago. It will be worth your time.
If you're on the Fundamental Baptist Singles Fellowship website, if you look at the upcoming events tab, you will see the link to the conference over at Bethel. Click that on, it'll take you right to the page. And we'll also have that on our front page when this interview is aired. Well, thank you very much, Brother Wilkinson, for coming on the program. And we appreciate your time and your
passion.
My
privilege, Brother Thompson.
Amen. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, fbsingles.wordpress.com.